This is So You Think You Know Jesus, a podcast that will challenge Christian paradigms, uproot traditions of man, and in the end, energize your faith by grounding you in solid biblical truths as you learn to see Scripture through the eyes of the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. Welcome, author and speaker Rabbi Jeff Grillo of the Rock of Israel Congregation in North Carolina, a Messianic synagogue that is part of the National Jewish Fellowship of the Assemblies of God. Now, Rabbi Jeff.
Oh yeah, it is time once again for the latest installment of what is hopefully becoming your favorite podcast, if it's not already at the top of the list. It's certainly my favorite, one that I do. I can at least say that. It's So You Think You Know Jesus, a ministry outreach of the Rock of Israel Congregation in Hickory and Statesville, North Carolina. I am pleased to host and give you some bread from the table, so to speak. Today, we're going to get right to it. We're going to be revealing a hidden clue, hidden in plain sight, regarding when should we be watching. I think that's what we will title this. When should we be watching? And specifically, and I'm having a senior moment, I just looked at it. I'm like 99% sure we're in Luke 21. And if not, I'm just going to quit. No, we won't do that. But also, I am having another awkward moment. I've once again left my sunglasses at the office. I don't have them here. So if you're watching this on video, you're going to see blind man's eyes darting to and fro, not sure exactly where to look. But it is what it is, right? So the rest of you, that's completely irrelevant. So when should we be watching? Luke 21, specifically verse 36. And in context, the disciples are asking him about the signs of his coming, and he obliges them by giving them signs. And this is in the portion or the parable of the fig tree, and some admonitions that the Lord gives about being prepared and being ready for the escape. And that's kind of another teaching for another time. But I probably will follow that trail at some point as the Lord leads. But specifically, verse 36, and I shall paraphrase, best my memory will allow me at this point. It says, be watchful at all times, asking that you be counted worthy to escape these things, and that you would stand before the Lord. So, at the plain, you know, the Peshat level, the plain meaning of the text in the English, it kind of goes in line with the theological, doctrinal beliefs and teachings of various denominations of the doctrine of imminent return, that the Lord can return at any time. Therefore, we ought to be ready at all times. And I hear me out on this. I'm kind of okay with that teaching to a point. The principle on the midrashic level of being ready at all times is a valid way to live in general. Here's what I mean. When I was merely 21-year-old lad, not sure why I became Irish all of a sudden, but when I was 21, I had two forms of malignant cancer I was diagnosed with at the same time. One of them, embryonal carcinoma, at the time had a 90% kill rate. So being faced with two forms of malignancy, I had a single-digit chance of survival. But here I am, 30-plus years later. I am alive and well, Baruch Hashem, praise the Lord. And but one thing that going through the trauma of the diagnosis, trauma of surgery and recovery, the trauma of aggressive combination chemotherapy, and how that ravaged my body and my health in and of itself. But the Lord was with me through the fire, and I not only survived, but I'm thriving today. The Lord has blessed me in so many ways. But one of the major takeaways, the lessons that I learned back then in the prime of my youth, right, is at 21, that's the point where we're all thinking we are invincible, we're immortal, we're going to live forever. We don't think about death and dying and the fragility of life, but in fact, that is exactly what I was faced with, and exactly the deep and meaningful lesson that I learned back then, and I hold with me today. And the lesson is this: any one of us, at any time, for any one of a million reasons, could find ourselves in the presence of the Almighty, Sovereign, and Holy Lord. And, you know, if you want to put rapture in there, go right ahead. But, you know, heart attack, cancer, stroke, accident, heaven forbid, you know, murder, violence. There's war. There's so many reasons that could have us, you know, just gone in a moment. Life is fragile. And so therefore, I believe, my perspective, the way this blind guy sees it, is we should be prepared at all times to meet the Lord, however that occurs. Now, that being said, let's get to the relevance of this particular scripture in Luke 21:36, that we are to be watchful at all times. We're just going to look at that portion. And the reason we're supposed to be watchful at all times is so that we can be prepared and be asking that we be worthy to escape these things, all of the wrath that is to come, speaking of the tribulation period, which I believe we are so close to. But that is, again, another topic for another time. But what does this mean? What's the hidden thing? What's the mystery here? And of course, just looking into the Greek, which this is translated from, and you know, and people have the mindset that the New Testament's all in Greek. And while I agree that that's all we have for certain portions of it, and certain portions of it make sense, that the original could have been Greek. It comes out more and more often that my instincts are correct, that it doesn't make sense that a Jewish gospel focusing on the Jews, not every book of the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, is solely to the Jews. But when it comes to the Gospels, like Matthew, for instance, recently, they've found what they believe to be original or really close to original scrolls, much more contemporary to that time than the Greek. But that being said, again, we'll put that aside for a second. We're just going to look at the Greek, and the word for times there is kairos. I think the transliteration is K-A-I-R-O-S, kairos. And yes, the way it's used can be a thing. But if you look a little deeper into, I believe it was the second or third definition of the word kairos, it starts to speak of appointed times, special times. And of course, from the perspective of the Second Temple period Judaism, first century believers, right, which is how we have to look at scriptures. It cannot mean something different today than it meant at the time it was written and to whom it was written in that setting, in that place. And the Kairos, these appointed times, these special times, are clearly referring to the Moedim in the Hebrew. The set times, the holy convocations, are appointed times. God's holy convocations, all of them listed in Leviticus 23. What I contend is the most ignored or overlooked chapter in the entire Bible when it comes to Christian believers. And it is imperative that we as followers of the Jewish Messiah get woke up to the fact that it's in these feast days, those that appear to be fulfilled. You know, Yeshua fulfilled all of the spring feasts on one level, where he became the sacrificial lamb, right, and was executed on Pesach, on Passover. He was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He rose from the dead on Yom Kippurim, the Feast of First Fruits. And just as he promised, we just celebrated this today as I record this on June 2nd. We're at the tail end of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. Pentecost is what the church at large calls it. And the reality is that is the day that the Lord poured out the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2. It was a tikkun, a repair for what happened with the golden calf debacle at Sinai. And I think I did a teaching on this. I'm going to have to go back in the archives and look, because if I haven't, good grief, Charlie Brown, that probably needs to be the next thing that we do. But I'm pretty sure it's been done. But at any rate, I digress. We are to look at all of the feasts. Messianic believers and even some Christians tend to look at the fall festivals heavily when it comes to rapture, end times, things. As well they should. There's some good reason to pay special attention. The month of Elul, the 30 days leading of repentance leading to Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, that's typically referred to as, but literally Yom Teruah is the day of shouting, is what that means. And then we have the 10 days of awe from then until Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which is a picture of Judgment Day, Yom Teruah. There's certainly elements of this festival, feast day, appointed time, Moed, that seem very similar to the rapture, right? The sounding of the shofar, right? The witnesses that have to come to announce the sighting of the first sliver of the new moon, and the priest saying, come up here, and they come up and confirm, and it's, you know, it's on, right, at that time. Yom Kippur is the great day of the Lord. It's Judgment Day. And Sukkot, which follows 5 days after that, and how it points to, you know, it's also known as the Feast of Ingathering, Feast of Booths. It's a time where we will be with the Lord. It points to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But even Shavuot, Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, has elements, excuse me, of that rapture picture, if you will. Well, we know that it's, again, a kind of a reenactment of sorts, a tikkun of what happened at Sinai with the receiving of the mitzvah, the instructions or commands of God, where God is up on the mountain, he calls Moses up. And in here we have Again, the tongues of fire, the lightnings and the thunders, a mighty rushing wind, all of this language that is very similar to what happened at Sinai is happening in Acts chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit's poured out, the priest comes and waves the two loaves of bread, which many interpret as being the Gentiles as well as the Jews being raised and lifted up as one. And, you know, there's some similarities. But we are commanded here by Yeshua that we ought to be watchful at all times, at all appointed times. We should be ready. Ready for what? Ready for signs. Ready for, you know, the resurrection of the dead. We should be looking for signs in the heavens that are attached to these holy days. Why? Because God wants us to be not caught unaware. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be watching. He wants us to be eagerly anticipating. You know, nobody goes to a wedding and just sits there. And nobody in their right mind goes and just sits there and looks at their watch. If the bride is late or is even on time as they're anticipating, but every wedding I've ever been to, you know, the music's kind of playing, the groom and the groomsmen are in place, and they're watching, they're waiting for the entry of the bride. People in the audience and the congregation are looking backwards, and they're looking towards that entry point, and they're waiting. There's all this anticipation, this buildup for that great moment. And our great bridegroom is no different. He's watching. He wants us to be watching. He wants us to be waiting. It's a great day of triumph and joy and beauty that we all should be looking forward to. So, you know, we all need to be ready and waiting and watching and looking at these appointed times in special ways, because He is coming. Baruch Hashem. See you next time.
Thanks for learning with us today. For more information and resources, or to invite Rabbi Jeff to speak at your church or next event, call 1-828-201-2883. Once again, that's 1-828-201-2883. Or visit myroic.org. That's myroic.org. Shalom.